You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Good Job Radio.
Hi.
Can I rock star this?
Sort of.
Who's gonna? Yeah.
Accidentally knocked their mic stand over.
All right. I have alliteration, but I have to read my phone because it's really long. All right. Hello, you load of lollygagging, loquacious louts who like listening to our labor and laughter. This is Good Job Brain, your weekly oppie trivia and quiz show. Podcast should be in there, but I was nervous. This is episode 163, and I'm your humble host, and we are your caboodle of poodles oozing oodles from our noodles.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
Yes, welcome to our live show. This is the first time. Welcome, you guys. And so for this first part, we are recording our usual normal episode, which is going to be an all quiz. We kind of brought out all our favorites. And then we're going to have intermission. And then we're going to have Q&A and audience games. So stay tuned. And
it's going to be the best 7 hours of your life.
We're going to try to pack everything. Without further ado, let's begin with our first general trivia segment.
I keep wanting to look back.
Yay! Why won't this play?
Yeah.
As listeners, you guys may know that we have a 13-pound Trivial Pursuit card box that someone sent us. I almost lugged it here, but I was like, it's kind of like 13 pounds for one card. So I did a handful, and I'm just going to pick someone randomly, and we're going to pick our card.
How about somebody in the splash zone in the front here?
Why aren't you guys wearing your ponchos? It's the splash zone.
You got to put the ponchos on. You might get wet.
You don't have to.
When you guys are covered with watermelon
here I come.
The show.
You don't know.
It's a surprise. It's any time during the 7 hours.
Yeah. It may not even come from the front, too. You don't know what we've got hidden in the ceilings.
Right.
All right, Bob. You're going to be my Trivial Pursuit card picker. Where are you from? San Francisco. All right. Thank you. All right, you guys. Are you guys ready? So we have a random Trivial Pursuit card here picked by Bob. You guys have your barnyard buzzers ready. Here we go, Blue Wedge. What? Oh, this is 90s Trivial Pursuit. So lucky you guys.
Okay.
All right. Blue Wedge. What TV talk show host first signed off in 1991 with "Take care of yourself and each other"?
TV talk show?
Talk show host in 1991.
Oh. Dana.
Jerry Springer.
Correct!
Whoa. Nice.
Good.
I think that says a lot about.
It's kind of ironic Jerry Springer said that. You didn't care
it's
about people.
Weird,
yeah. You care of yourself? What?
Pink Wedge. What food was James Garner hyping just before he was hospitalized with clogged arteries? I actually don't know who that is.
He was the pitch man for beef. Beef. It's what's for dinner.
Oh.
Is that it? It is beef.
Beef.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
That's weird to applause for beef.
Yay. Clogged arteries.
Next question, Yellow Wedge. What national five and dime closed its last 400 stores in 1997? Chris.
Woolworths.
Yes.
Yeah. That's nice. The only five and dime that I
don't even know what that is. Right. Is that
five,
in a store?
Go down to the five and dime.
Discount. Like, yeah. Everything is a nickel or 10 cents.
A nickel or a dime, right.
Oh, like a dollar store.
Well, no. Yeah.
With inflation. Yeah, before inflation.
Like a five and dime. Right, yeah.
All right.
A dollar store would have been really expensive. Would have been like a car.
All right, Purple Wedge. What G word denotes a fashion statement characterized by ripped jeans, faded t-shirts, lumberjack shirts, and Dr. Martin's boots? Dr. Martin's.
Should we all do it?
I think this is an all yes. answer. Yeah.
Grunge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank
wow.
You.
We remember the 90s.
Green Wedge. What college won 133 of 150 men's basketball games at Cameron Indoor Stadium in the 90s?
This is deathly silent. That is the Duke University Blue Devils.
You can just say Duke.
Duke.
Duke!
Duke!
All right.
I want to cover my bases.
Last question, Orange Wedge. Oh, man. I'm not... Okay.
Is it good or bad?
What gaming system...
Hey!
What gaming system could handle multiple players with a networking device dubbed the Catbox?
I can't believe this is a question.
Well, yeah, that's all you. This is all you.
That is, of course, duh, the Atari Jaguar.
Correct! 90s. Good job, everybody. And so today is episode 163 as we're recording. Usually every fifth episode is an all-quiz bonanza where we prepare our old quizzes. Even though it's 63, we're going to make this episode an all-quiz bonanza. Yay. And to start off, we have Monsieur Chris Kohler.
Hello. Thank you guys for coming out. This is awesome to see everybody. Thanks to the New People Theater for having us and redecorating the entire theater in Good Job Brain Orange just for us. Spared no expense. My clipboard is actually over there.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, right? It's crazy. So I wanted to start us off as the group historian by doing something about actually the theater that you are in right now and the place that we're all in right now, which is Japantown of San Francisco, which has a fascinating history. I don't know, maybe you guys know some of this, but I kind of wanted to share it with you because we're all here. And after the show is over and about 8 p.m. ish, you can all head out and enjoy Japantown. The Fillmore District, we are actually in United States' oldest Japantown ever, period. It is quite old, goes back to like turn of the century. This is where a lot of Japanese immigrants first started living and establishing businesses. The Fillmore District, which is sort of all in this accompanied, you know, all around us, is also one of the major jazz music districts in the U.S., and it's where a lot of jazz players would come and play. There used to be, I mean, you would walk down the street in the, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, you know, and there'd be just jazz clubs just every couple of doors, basically, just all night. You could go out on Friday night and come back on Monday morning. And the reason that it's such a weird, eclectic neighborhood is actually kind of sad. It's because during World War II, as we know, a lot of the Japanese citizens in the United States, they were living on the West Coast, were relocated or interned and moved out of San Francisco. This was actually around the time that a lot of African Americans were migrating, they're moving out of the South and into other areas of the country. And so lots of homes were opened up, sadly and unfortunately, and a lot of people moved in. And then after World War II, you know, that's when it just sort of became this really interesting mix of the jazz community and the Japanese community. So I have some questions. I have some quiz questions for this group of people in and around the theme of jazz music or Japan or both or who knows. So everybody get your barnyard buzzers ready.
All right.
And we'll see how these guys do at these questions. One of the key figures in music to come out of the Fillmore District was this singer who was born in L.A. but moved to the Fillmore when she was 12. And her hit songs include Wallflower and I'd Rather Go Blind. Oh. Does anybody know who this is?
Wallflower.
Wait, do we get a year?
No.
So we need to recognize one of these two songs or not get it.
I'm gonna give you guys this because you're a little confused. I will tell you an interesting fact about her. Her name at birth was Jamesetta Hawkins.
Okay, move out at 12.
I'm looking at the audience to see if anybody's going to
melting the answer. Yeah. Karen buzzed in.
Etta James.
It is Etta James.
Oh.
The name sounded.
Moving over into Japanese music, there is a Japanese song released in 1961. That song is called Ue o Muite Aruko, which means I look up when I walk. And it actually reached the top of the Billboard Hot 100 in America in the 1960s. It is the only Japanese language song to this day that has ever done so. And I'm asking you, to what was the song renamed for its U.S. release? Oh. Did you buzz in?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is it?
Sukiyaki.
Sukiyaki, yes. And the name Sukiyaki is, of course, just a Japanese food dish and has nothing to do whatsoever with the song.
Also, big 90s R&B hit.
There we go. Mm-hmm.
By a band I totally forgot.
Sticking with some San Francisco music, jazz information, this well-known San Francisco music promoter was born in Berlin named Wolf Wolodia Grahanka. Colin.
That must be Bill Graham.
It is Bill Graham.
Oh, yep. I did not
He's
know
He's a real
that.
Guy.
Very good.
What was his birth name again?
Wolf Wolodia Grahanka.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Street Fighter character.
He was nicknamed, you know, Wolfgang as a kid, and then he changed it to Bill. Which I did.
Fun fact.
Totally makes sense. Louis Armstrong, great trumpet player, was nicknamed, audience?
Satchmo.
But from where, I ask the good job brainers, did the term Satchmo originate?
Can you spell it?
Oh, Colin.
I'm not sure if this is apocryphal or not.
Go on.
I believe that when he was a kid, he got the nickname Satchel Mouth because he and his friends or his brothers were selling things. I know this sounds increasingly crazy.
But this is a lot more than I expected.
He would keep coins in his mouth, and he got the name from how many coins he could stuff in his cheeks. Am I at all close?
I was looking for Satchel Mouth. and there's some stories about it. I mean, it could just be that he has a big mouth, like a big bag of mouth. But that's it. Yeah, Satchel Mouth. That's what Satchel
means. Well, yeah, it leads to another question. Is a why Satchel Mouth?
Why? What?
So Japantown's actual old name that it first had and still has, you might see it out there, is Nihonmachi, which means, get ready, Japantown. But what does Nihon mean? Good job, brainers. Colin again with the language.
Japan or Japanese.
Well, yeah, sorry, excuse me. Nihon is the... That was baked into the lead-up to this.
Japan?
What do the characters Ni and Hon in Japan, like, what does that mean?
Is it fair if I answer?
Well, I guess, if nobody else wants
Ni
to.
Is sun
it
or
is.
Day.
Yes.
Hong is like a area or a neighborhood.
Not in this case.
Okay.
Is it land of rising sun?
That is basically what it means. So it actually hon means origin. And so when they first started, Japan always called itself, if anything, if it had a name for itself, was just Wa. And actually there's a lot of debate over what the meaning of that was, because it's a very old name. But when Japan first started dealing with China, they started referring to themselves as Nihon, meaning the land of the sun's origin, because Japan was east of China, and that's how they described it. It's described, it's like relative to China. It's the land where the sun comes from. We are to the east. Definitely puffing themselves up a little bit.
Just a little.
Dealings with the emperor, yeah. Final question and a recitation from me. There is a piece of Japanese music that is often played on American television, or was often played on American television, during the mid-1990s. I will read the English translation of the original Japanese lyrics and buzz in when you can identify the television show that this played in front of. I'm going to read the English translation of some Japanese lyrics, and you're trying to ID the theme song.
Okay.
Sorry if I'm not gentle. I can say that in my dreams. My thoughts are about to short circuit. I want to see you. Now isn't soon enough. Just about ready to cry. Moonlight. Can't call. Midnight. Because I'm so naive, what can I do? My heart is a kaleidoscope. Led by the moonlight.
Can you stop?
Do any of you guys know?
1990s.
Early 90s?
This is a Japanese TV show.
This is a Japanese TV show. Yeah, and the piece of Japanese
Sailor
music.
Moon.
It is Sailor Moon.
Oh, I buzzed in.
Yeah, but you didn't buzz in.
Sorry.
So.
I lost.
When you read it like that, it's so not as a...
Okay, I'll give you the point. Okay, and that's it. Place outro here.
Oh, my. So when we decided we were going to be hosting a live show, there was one very particular computerized artificial intelligence that I really wanted to join us. I'm talking, of course, about Hal from the movie 2001. But he is fictional, evil, and destroyed. So we're going to have Elvis instead. Yes, our old friend, the electronic lyrical vocal interpretation system, subject to change, patent pending. He's been with us for a while. Frankly, guys, Elvis told me his feelings were a little hurt. He didn't come to Las Vegas with us. But, you know, I talked to him. We patched it up. He's joined us here tonight. He is a little shy, so he's hiding up in the projection booth up there. You know, doesn't want to come out and show himself. But, you know, we can feel him here. And we've got his PR photo here. This is from his glossies. Those of you who may not be familiar with Elvis, the way this quiz is going to work, maybe you've never listened to an episode of Good Job Brain before. It's possible. You just wandered in here off
Very
the street.
I just wandered in.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. You owe us $20.
Yeah.
Elvis will read the opening lines to several hit songs. All of his readings will be completely devoid of melody, inflection, and any semblance of soul whatsoever. Your job, guys, is to tell me the name of the song and the artist. Or if you can only do one out of two, you know, we'll accept it.
Okay.
We got about 10 or 12 seconds of audio, so listen carefully to these opening lines of hit songs. And very importantly, for your quizzing enjoyment, there is a theme.
Oh.
There is a theme tying all of these songs, artists together. I encourage you to talk through the theme amongst yourselves, see who can call it first, perhaps. It may help you out toward the end of the quiz. So without further ado, Elvis, please cue up our first track.
So 1, 2, 3... Take my hand and come with me, because you look so fine and I really want to make you mine.
Oh.
I say
well,
you look so fine
my,
and I really want to
so
make you mine.
Yeah, maybe we'll let him play all the way through. Did you guys get that? You hear it again?
So 1, 2, 3, take my hand and come with me, because you look so fine and I really want to make you mine. I say you look so fine that I really want to make you mine.
I believe that was, who we got down there? Karen.
Karen, yeah.
Jet.
Yes. You want to go for the name of the song as well?
It's a rock band. are you going to be my girl?
If you could name one Jet song, this would be the
are
one.
Are you going to be my girl?
Are you going to be my girl by Jet? Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, no guesses on the theme yet, guys? Yeah, normally you're brainstorming already.
Modes of transportation.
We can do this.
Okay.
We can do that. We can
there
guess.
We go.
They're Australian, so this could be an all-Australian music. And this is what we do in real life at Pub Trivia when there's theme. We try to, like, narrow down the theme by song one. Australia. Songs on Rock Band. Oh, iPod commercials.
Was it iPod?
All right. Okay. Yeah.
Or questions. Discussion.
Bands that have three letters in them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, anyway.
All right. With many contenders here for the theme.
One.
All right. Moving right along. Elvis, get our second track for us, please.
All my friends know the lowrider. The lowrider is a little higher. Lowrider drives a little slower. Lowrider is a real goer.
Lowrider is a real goer.
Who is this?
I don't know the artist of this.
Is it the Lowrider?
Yeah.
Does
that get you to the artist?
Lowrider. No. Lowrider.
I think we may have to punt on this one.
I think we need to turn to the audience. Someone here must know.
No, just yell it out. Just yell it out. Yeah.
War. It is correct.
Three-letter band.
A mode of transportation.
And a mode of transportation.
What is it?
War.
War.
War?
War. War.
Oh. Yeah.
Opposite of peace.
Oh, military.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Well.
All right. I guess we're going to have to keep going here. We're narrowing down. All right. On to track number three. Elvis, please, take it away.
Oh, life is bigger. It's bigger than you, and you are not me. The lengths that I will go to, the distance in your eyes. Oh no, I've said too much. I set it up.
R.E.M.
That is R.E.M., correct.
Losing My Religion.
Yes, that's right. Losing My Religion.
Three-letter bands.
Okay.
It's looking good.
Okay.
It's looking
good. Seems to be holding true. It does.
Might
it does.
Be a curveball.
All right, well, the fourth track may clinch
Ball?
This or break it. All right, track number four. Elvis, please, take it away.
The 22nd of loneliness, and we've been through so many things. I love my man with all honesty, but I know he's cheating on me.
Dana.
TLC.
That is TLC. Singing
Creep.
It is Creep. The 22nd of loneliness. That's a very poetic line. I like that.
They are very poetic.
Yeah. All right, track number five. Here we go. Elvis, whenever you are ready.
We're talking away. I don't know what I'm to say. I'll say it anyway. Today is another day to find you. Shying away. I'll be coming for your love, okay?
Okay. I'll be coming for your love.
Okay. Aha.
Yes, it is aha.
Oh my God.
Wait, can I play that again?
Sure.
We're talking away. I don't know what I'm to say. I'll say it anyway. Today is another day to find you. Shying away. I'll be coming for your love, okay?
Okay. Imagine that we're animated.
Yeah. Elvis is really into informed consent.
Yeah. All right, so last one here, last one. Now, you guys, I will give you. You have cottoned to the theme.
Yeah.
It is bands with three letters in the name. All right, so we'll see if that helps you out on this last one. Here we go, Elvis. Final track, please.
Never been near a university. Never took a paper or a learned degree. And some of your friends think that's stupid of me, but it's nothing that I care about.
All right, might be the trickiest one. Anyone have any guesses?
Wait, is this the song that's like, don't know much about Gio?
No.
It's just school related.
I see.
What's the theme? What's the theme? Can you guys back into it?
School.
No, three-letter band.
School.
No guesses?
Okay, three-letter band. Wet is wet.
People out in the audience here, Gem. They're just antsy. I know people know it.
Somebody wait, people know it?
Someone to, here. There
I'm
must
ready
be
to let them say
one
that.
Person.
Yeah.
One person? Nobody?
Nobody knows.
Wow. Oh, Elvis has stumped
really?
The building.
This is, you know, this is the
this
kind
is
of data we never get when we're doing the show by ourselves, because sometimes it's like, oh, that question's too hard. Even a room full of 100 people wouldn't know that.
Can you? Yeah. Now we have proof.
Yeah.
Proof.
Yeah.
Well, what? Yeah. What genre? A decade.
Yes, it is XTC. Well done.
XTC.
A voice from the back. That is the Mayor of Simpleton by XTC.
There we go.
All right. Well, good job, Brains.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done. And Elvis, hopefully he saw how well this went. We can, you know, bribe him to make an in-person appearance at the next show. So thanks, Elvis. Thank you.
All right, so it's my turn. Thank you. For this show, I was trying to decide what segment to do, and they were like, oh, you should do a You're Burnt. So I was like, that sounds good. So I've done a You're Burnt before for children's literature, and classic literature, it's the trollish reviews. This time I'm doing movies that everyone loved on Rotten Tomatoes except for one person. These are the 99% movies where they're classics. You'd be surprised that somebody could find something to hate it about, but they did. And so I'll read you an excerpt from their review, and you guys guess what movie I'm talking about.
All right. These are
beloved movie, ripped to shreds.
By one person.
Only one person.
One review.
They went out on a limb, and then they were alone on the limb. And it was
okay.
So this movie came out around the time of Snow White, just FYI.
All right.
Okay. The movie was intended to hit the same audience as Snow White and won't fail for lack of trying. It has dwarves, music, technicolor, freak characters, and Judy Garland. It can't be expected to have a sense of humor as well. And as for the light touch of fantasy, it weighs like a pound of fruitcake soaking wet.
A lot of sensual
I think we all
language.
Figured out that it's...
Is that...
It's
Wizard of Oz.
Oh, Wizard of Oz.
The only negative review for the Wizard of Oz.
Wow.
Otis Ferguson of the New Republic. He wasn't...
Oh, these are actual journalists.
Yeah, this
like
is
from,
Rotten Tomatoes.
Like contemporaneous... With the things,
Wow.
And I like that you're outing them, making them put their name to it.
Yeah.
Otis Ferguson.
Yeah. Who's probably not alive anymore.
Well, now we know his name. You got to make your mark, I guess.
Yeah, it was probably 75 years ago. You're right.
Okay. It is, in the last analysis, just a Hugo, thundering camel opera that tends to run down rather badly as it rolls into its third hour and gets involved with sullen disillusion and political deceit. Karen?
Lawrence of Arabia.
Yes. Uh-huh. Camera opera that is very boring.
Yeah, I can't name another camel. Yeah.
Camel.
Operatic camel film.
Yeah. That's Bosley Crowther of the New York Times. Sorry, Bosley.
New York hipsters.
Yeah. Okay, another New York Times review. It is a horror film and not very scary. There are a few false frights, the closet door opening ominously to reveal a vacuum cleaner, a letter in a dead woman's hand that reads, I can no longer associate myself, dropped objects in a dark cellar at the Dakota on West 72nd Street. But the only really jumpy second occurs when Miss Farrow speaks suddenly and startles a reading witch. Colin.
That's Rosemary's Baby.
Rosemary's Baby. Ooh. Renata Adler, the only person who didn't like that movie. Hurricane Marlin is sweeping the country, and I wish it were a lot more than hot air. A tornado of praise, cover stories, and huzzas blast out the news that Brando is giving a marvelous performance. The lapsed great actor has regained himself, and so on. As a Brando watcher for almost 30 years, I'd like to agree.
Chris. Is it The Godfather?
It's The Godfather.
Oh, my God.
I thought when you said Marlon, I was thinking, this is Marlon
Wayans. I thought
Marlon
Wayans.
Right. And it's the one person who didn't like white chicks.
Yeah.
The one person.
Yeah.
It's like you found the guy.
Also in the Scream.
Sure.
Yeah.
Scary
okay.
movie franchise.
I guess.
These last two are both by Gene Siskel. And there are not that many movies that are 99% and have just one bad review. I think he's maybe the only reviewer that did it twice.
So that's assuming then Ebert like gave it. A thumbs up.
Yeah, he was just
right,
the only...
Right, because if Siskel's the only one.
Yeah, he's a professional troll. He did it. The opening shot of almost every scene has been so artificially overcomposed as to make one aware of Jack Nicholson wearing 30s clothes while standing in a room decorated to look like a 30s room while talking to stereotypes plucked from an assortment of 30s movies. Colin.
I'm going to guess Chinatown.
Chinatown.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, last one. To me, this is one extremely violent, protracted attack on the senses as surviving space explorers or Gorny Weaver again confronts the spiny, slithering creatures who killed her buddies in the original film. Some people have praised the technical excellence of this movie. Well, the Eiffel Tower is technically impressive, but I wouldn't want to watch it fall apart on people for 2 hours.
Wow. Wow.
Aliens. Yes.
The
yes.
sequel. He's the only one who didn't like it.
May I just say, that's a very polished burn on that one,
I know,
too.
That is.
Yeah.
I saved it for last. Yeah. It felt like he had that in his pocket. He was excited to use it. There was poetry. That's good.
All right.
Good job. Woo!
Thank you.
That was good.
All right. It is my turn. I'm looking for... a particular person out in the crowd.
She has a plant.
Uh-oh. That's not good.
He could be just, you know, biding his time, waiting for the proper moment. He's probably enjoying all of our modern...
Oh.
Oh, okay.
He's always late.
Made an entrance.
Hast thou a microphone for me?
I will gladly give up my microphone. Yeah.
Yes.
What I like to do for my own hobby, not just for the show, is I really like, and I don't know why, but I really like taking 90s or 2000 rap and R&B songs, and I like to write them into Elizabethan English.
So weird.
For fun.
What?
And finally, one day when we started the show, I was like, now I can use all of this that I've written. For my next segment, of course, was, I think we only did it twice on the show. I named it William Shakespeare Goes to a House Party. And what, I have William Fakespeare here, who is going to recite, Shakespearean passages, but they're actually transcription of very famous house party songs. And what you have to do is to guess what song. And there actually is a couple of clues. So they're written almost word for word. And I always use a different word. So if it's she, I'll say lady. So that's how maybe you can figure it out.
Maybe.
Are you ready?
The lady nabs mine riches at times of down and out. I, her a frivolous familiar of mine, without a doubt. Oh, a miner of gilded jewels o'er the village wide. Her, a miner of mines, and of what is mine.
Let's take a look at that on the screen.
Dana.
Gold digger.
Nice.
Let's just run this down, yeah.
Oh, Bard, are you ready for the next
one? Aye.
The Bard of Stratford, up all in yo Avon.
If thou hast troubles of flirts and coys, then allow my sympathies, my good boy. I have one fewer of 100 of botheration. Yet a harlot shan't and never will be an inclusion.
Yeah, I think we all, yeah. I believe that is 99 Problems by Jay-Z. Nice transliteration. Well done.
And next. For the knaves shall game. Moreover, the naysayers shall nay.
All right.
Mine beloved, I shall wave, wave, wave. Wave mine troubles away. Wave mine troubles away.
Dana, shake it off. Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift, Tay-Tay.
It turned out pretty good.
It's good. It's good.
It's good. No, that was good. It's good.
The colloquial finisher. Mine creamy concoction shall bargain, wandering fellows to the garden. They clamor, 'tis finer than thine. Oh, truth, 'tis finer than thine. Instructions I hath deliver in payment of gold and silver.
I think Dana. Yeah, we think we both got. It's
Khalees milkshake.
Milkshake. Is it my milkshake or milkshake?
Milkshake.
Milkshake. Okay, this is why we asked.
Khalees.
Khalees.
That was awesome. So good.
So I. Oh yes. To William Shakespeare. Thank you. Yeah. So I mean, a little bit of a different thing. I rewrote these. I used to not make them rhyme, and now it's my new challenge to actually make the couplets rhyme. That's a lot harder, but...
But next is iambic pentameter.
I know, that's next. All right. So that is the end of our first section and our segment, and I want to, before we go into intermission, the photo booth is still open, so you guys still get all your photos, get more photos. Is what? Jonathan here? Jonathan, can you stand up?
And this also, is an intervention, Jonathan.
Oh.
We all love you very much.
And I also want to invite Jeff. Jeff Ebbage. Is he here? Jeff? No? There he is! It's their birthday. Woo! And I thought it would be super cool.
We could finally...
We can finally do this thing that we weren't able to do for a while, and that is, if you didn't know, happy birthday! The song is now officially in the public domain.
Yeah.
Which means we don't need any more Olive Garden weird happy birthday songs or what's another place that has...
Like TGI Friday.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
happy birthday, TGI Friday.
So... I think this will be, I want the whole crowd to sing happy birthday, and now we can do it legally in a venue.
And recording it even.
Yeah, recorded, and people paid money, so yeah, this is the best. So, Jonathan and Jeff, let's just say John and Jeff, you guys can sit down now.
Yeah. You can sit down. However, we're going to lead the audience
to the first legal happy birthday singing in my life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Okay, ready?
Happy birthday to you. It feels so good. It's so free.
To you. Happy birthday, dear
John and Jeff.
And also Jeff.
Happy birthday to you.
Yay! All right, we're going to have a quick intermission.
Traffic jams. Tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.